Welcome to Steady She Grows. I'm Casey Jordan, and this is the podcast that is dedicated to giving you an honest look at the realities of being a solo entrepreneur. My guess is that you want to grow a sustainable and feel-good business without burnout and overwhelm. I have a passion for creating clarity out of the chaos that is building a business without a giant budget, without a team of people to manage, and in the hours you choose to work. We're talking about the realities of what it takes to be a solopreneur, both logistically and emotionally. And now to today's episode.
Welcome to Steady She Grows with Abby Malik of Moonlight Coaching. Abby, I'm delighted to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me here, Casey.
All right, so let's dive right into this. Tell us a little bit about what you do in business these days.
So I am a life coach, seeing people all over the world on Zoom. And I have one client right now that I actually meet outdoors in a park with masks. And I'm currently going through a big rebrand where I've started calling myself an existential life coach. And I'm right now working on the redoing the copy for my website and kind of redoing the themes of my social medias to reflect that I'm going to be an existential life coach.
Awesome. What prompted the rebrand?
So I initially started off focusing on anxiety, focusing on helping people reduce anxiety and anxiety related issues like procrastination, perfectionism, and people pleasing, because that's what I have a lot of experience in and what I learned a lot about in graduate school and social work. So, and I started working with clients, and we're in a time of heightened anxiety right now. So when I started my business, I saw that need that a lot of people are feeling more anxious. There's arguments between families about COVID safety. There's stress about the US election. I started in October when that was something that was really scary on a lot of people's minds. And that stress actually has kind of not completely gone away.
No.
And I started to see that, yes, a lot of my clients came to me to work on reducing anxiety, but there were also a lot of bigger issues going on that during the pandemic, when people had more time to think and reevaluate their lives and figured out what they missed during quarantine and what they didn't miss and how that kind of surprised them. There were a lot of people reevaluating what they really wanted in their lives and reevaluating what was genuinely meaningful to them, what genuinely made them happy. And I found that work of working on helping people figure out their values, figure out what's meaningful to them, figure out how they wanted to define success for them, that work was really exciting to me too. That was the work that like really revved my engine and got me going. And I was nervous about rebranding for a couple of reasons, because I started my business only 4 months ago. So I was thinking, is this crazy to do a rebrand already? But the pandemic has been hard for me in a lot of ways, being a new parent and starting a new business and not having full-time childcare. So I really decided I need to do the work that gets me so excited to sit in front of my computer and work when I have a free moment. And I was nervous about my rebrand. I was nervous about calling myself an existential life coach because, first of all, that's not something that people are going to Google. It's not going to do me any favors with my SEOs. But also, people associate the word existential with existential dread or existential crises, because there's this big misinterpretation in our culture about what existentialism is. We think of it as something kind of dark and brooding and depressing. But for me, existentialism is really exciting because it means that, like, if life doesn't have an intrinsic meaning that's the same for all of us, if we can't just find meaning in a holy book or in the traditions of our ancestors, that means we get to figure out our own meaning in life. every person gets to decide for themselves, what does happiness look like for you? What does success look like for you? What are your values? How do you live those values? And for me, that's really fun work to do. And it's also different for everyone, so it doesn't get boring. So I've kind of coined this term that I'm integrating into the new copy in my website, which is existential euphoria, which is the opposite of existential dread. So what I'm saying is existential euphoria is when you've figured out what your values are, you've figured out what's meaningful to you, and you're living it.
I love that. I think you're so spot on that existential brings about kind of a negative connotation, but yeah, like we all get to choose. And I think entrepreneurs, like I don't know if we're more hardwired to see this. Like a lot of us become entrepreneurs because this is the thing we're passionate about, whether it's running a bakery, being a life coach. I love starting businesses. That's why I started a business, helping people start businesses, was like, that's the thing that lights me up. And so I think that's so great to tap into that and highlight that, like, no, like this is the best stuff to figure out, that this is our best life.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Being an entrepreneur or a solopreneur, it's certainly not the easiest thing to do. And you have to do a lot of figuring things out and troubleshooting and trial and error. Mm-hmm. But people often do it. You're absolutely right, because it's what lights them up. It gives them excitement and purpose.
Yep.
And it helps them live out their values.
Yeah. And I think too, I want to go back and highlight too that you rebranded after only 4 months and you questioned yourself, like, is this crazy? I'm so early into this. I want to highlight the fact that, like, no, it's never too early to rebrand. Like if you realize you're not on the right page, whether it's like language, you know, the copy you're using, whether it's like literally the job title, who your primary audience is, like I tell new clients this all the time as we go through the projects that we're working on, that their language starts to change. Like, well, but I'm so new at this. I'm like, oh, exactly. Like you figure it out as you go. There are a lot of learning and answers come from action. So I want to like highlight, commend you that at 4 months, you're like, yeah, we got to make a little shift on this, and that you figured out what the shift was.
Thank you. Yeah. And I had a good role model because I have a friend here in Austin, Texas, where I'm based, who's a self-trust coach named Shore Dye. And she had given me a lot of business advice when I was first starting. And she has been in business for 4 years and rebranded about 4 times. And each time she's doing more of work that feels like lets her be her authentic self, and that lets her do the part that she's really excited about and leave other parts of it behind.
Absolutely. And sometimes too, starting out, sometimes we don't know what it is, the part that we like. And then sometimes it is, we're just trying to make a dollar. So we'll kind of take any client. And as you get better as a thing, as you realize what audience you like or don't like, then you narrow it down more. Like I'm shifting again, like I'm still business strategy, I'm still helping new businesses, but getting more specifically into businesses that want to get away from the toxic entrepreneurship that's kind of become the norm online, that's, you know, people who want to be aware of the impact that they're having socially and politically. Like I've been doing this a couple of years, and that's where I excel. Like you mentioned, that's the thing that lights me up. So that's what I want to do. And that's what we become known for. And then you'll start getting better and better clients because you're better and better at what you do. And like they feed off each other. And that's where, I don't know, whatever, any big name person, like that's part of how they got there, is refining as they went. So like, this is just part of the process.
Exactly. Another thing that made me hesitant to do a rebrand is because I had already put a lot of work into my original branding, you know, and my time is so limited. I had originally thought that I would put my baby in daycare, but due to the pandemic, I decided that's not a good idea right now. And I don't have full-time childcare because of this totally unexpected world catastrophe. Mm-hmm. So I'm working whenever I can, when my partner's playing with the baby, when baby's asleep. but I had put a lot of work into writing the copy for my website. I'd put a lot of work into my socials, what I wanted them to look like, what I wanted them to feel like. And I got so excited about my rebrand. And then I was like, ah, but all that work that I did, I'm going to have to change it now and redo it.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, I feel that. I feel that. So take us even a little further back than the rebrand. You mentioned a degree in social work. Like, tell us about kind of pre-October and how you got into being an entrepreneur.
Yeah. So, you know, becoming an entrepreneur and especially a solopreneur was definitely an unexpected pivot for me. And okay. It was, in fact, something that I had said many times that I would never do, because I saw how hard my solopreneur friends were working, and I did not want that. But basically what happened is that in January of 2020, I was pregnant. I was in graduate school studying social work, and I had this whole plan for what my 2020 was going to look like. I would have a baby in April, finish graduate school in August, then put my baby in daycare in September, and I would start applying for jobs in the nonprofit sector. But then the rest of 2020 happened, and my best laid plans did exactly what Robert Burns said they were going to do. So by the time August rolled around, I did finish graduate school, but I couldn't take the social work licensure exam due to COVID. And I didn't want to put my baby in daycare due to COVID. So I accidentally became a stay-at-home parent, which had not been part of my plan. And as much as I did appreciate all the extra time with my baby, I wanted to use my degree. I wanted to figure out how I could work part-time from home around my baby's schedule and use my social work skills. So really knowing next to nothing about how to run a small business, I decided to become a life coach and figured if it went well, then I could do this full-time when the pandemic's over. And if it didn't go well, then I could go back to my original plan of being a social worker at a nonprofit. So I, you know, as I said, from my graduate work, from my previous work as a case manager, I knew a lot about anxiety and anxiety coping skills, perfectionism, people pleasing. And I saw that all of those things were exacerbated due to the pandemic. So I saw a need, and I had those skills and I wanted to use them. So I figured I'll start slow and I'll see how it goes. And I was very lucky that, you know, I got a couple of referrals right off the bat from friends and family. So I got to get started and kind of see how it went.
That's awesome. I think that's a great outlook on it. A lot of times when I talk to people, a couple episodes back, I talked to Treva Woods, who gave a year's notice on her job. And then you have kind of the flip situation where all the plans got yanked out from under you. And so it's like, cool, I'm going to try this entrepreneurship thing, but I have a backup plan to go back into my industry if I need to, when I need to. And I think that's important to acknowledge that, because there are people who get into entrepreneurship, and especially the solopreneurship where it's all on us. And like, we feel guilty stopping. Like, I have talked to a lot of business owners that are like, you know, not a lot of business owners, but enough that are like, I don't know that this is for me. The stress, the managing all of it, I just, the love for the job anymore, I kind of just want to go back to like working for somebody else. And they feel bad about that. And it's like, no, like, that's a totally fair option to have that in the back of your mind. So I'm curious, now you're 4 months into this, which is just the scratch of the surface when it comes to starting a business. Do you still think that that is, like, is that still kind of a big backup plan, or like, I'm going to really make this work in the life coaching?
It's so hard to say, and it varies day to day, because I do enjoy working with clients. I really love talking to people about their values, and I really love talking to people about, you know, giving them kind of a different way of thinking about their anxiety and thinking about how, you know, it's not that you're broken. It's that we live in a world that's not supporting human emotions and human families. So there are things that I love about setting my own schedule and working for myself and getting to decide how do I want to do things and doing some experimentation. Well, let me try this. That didn't work great. Or, you know, that worked well, but I could still do it better. But there's things like billing and figuring out what an SEO is, having to find my own clients instead of working for an agency that would send me clients. I still feel like I'm on the fence every day because there are things I love about this and things I hate about this. And I still, you know, I feel, even though I'm working when I'm baby's asleep or when I'm not with baby, I still feel guilty. Like, why am I trying to run a business when I'm a new parent and I should be focusing on parenting?
Right.
I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any end to the pandemic in sight. Texas has been very disorganized about keeping people safe and getting people vaccines. So I still have plenty of time to figure out if this small business thing is for me or not.
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense that it varies day to day. And it kind of hit me. It was funny. I was thinking about it. When you work in, so my graduate's degree is mental health. I used to be a therapist. And so kind of a similar background is like, when I worked in mental health, there are lines out the door around the block of clients who need help. And so it was like, when I first went into coaching, I started as a life coach and it was like, this should be so easy to find clients. There's so many people who need mental health support, anxiety, these kinds of things. And like finding and converting clients, like a whole different ballgame when you aren't a corporation or a nonprofit, or, you know, you don't take insurance. And it was like, well, crap, that didn't work the way I thought it would. But that's awesome that you've got people in the door already and that it's working and that you're enjoying it. I want to circle back around a little bit. So we talked about the rebrand on a personal level, but I want you to talk about the rebrand and kind of reinventing yourself in terms of like your clients and your personality. Like, this is one that I feel like I catch myself struggling with, of like, I was always the quote unquote tomboy growing up. And now as I get older, I'm like trying, you know, in my late 30s, trying to learn how to wear makeup. Like, this is a very superficial example, but like, is it okay for me to rebrand myself throughout my life?
That's such a great question. And I would say, you know, absolutely yes, that people are often doing that, especially during times of life change. You know, when people go to college, they often tend to try out different parts of their personality, try to dress a little different, make friends with different people, because it's kind of a fresh start. And starting a new business can also be a fresh start. It is a little scary to try to figure out, what do you want the face of your business to look like? It's a little scary to try to be a solopreneur, especially who's using a lot of social media, because there's so much emphasis on sharing yourself and being your authentic self. But you don't want to share everything because you do want some privacy. So how do you want to be authentic or not be authentic? You know, I talk on my social media about being queer and non-binary. I talk about being a new parent during a pandemic, and all of this stuff, it feels very vulnerable. It's scary to share that with a bunch of strangers. So the question of how does that relate to a rebrand, I think it absolutely does, because it's such a weird balance between being your authentic true self and then also being the face of a business. So if I'm a person who's talking about reducing anxiety, and I am deciding what clothes am I going to wear for my headshots, what background do I want to have in photos of myself, what books do I want photos of myself reading? That's going to look different than how I present myself if I'm being a little bit more philosophical and talking about the meaning of life and talking about finding your values.
Yeah, that's a really good point. How do you find for yourself, how do you find the balance of like, what is vulnerable and I'm willing to share this and like, what is too much? Because like, you know, some of it being a privacy concern, you know, for me, I'm always very aware of just like my own safety of kind of not necessarily not being findable, but like just the logistics of being a public face. Like, how do you balance? Yeah. Like I said, how do you balance sharing authentically and sharing stuff that's important given what you do? You have to share a certain amount about your life and your decisions with your audience versus what's kind of an overshare.
It's such a tough balance. And one thing that really surprised me when I started my professional Instagram for my business was how many of my cousins and aunts and uncles immediately started following my business Instagram. And I was like, gosh, do I want to talk about being queer and non-binary and have so many of my cousins be like following this journey? And what if my business is a total flop and then all of them see that like, oh, I only have 3 Instagram followers. So, you know, I've had debates with myself, and I think these are things that everybody needs to figure out for themselves. Like, do I show photos of my child on my business Instagram? Mm-hmm. And right now I am doing that. Not a lot because I mostly have photos of myself. I talk about times when I'm having a hard day or I'm struggling because I think it's important. It's healthy to share things like that and not always just share the positivity and the wins. You know, I made a post where I was talking about how I have a 13-year-old cousin who used to be a huge Harry Potter fan. And then he got really mad and disillusioned when he found out how transphobic J.K. Rowling is. So me and my cousin, we made this plan together to read some young adult books written by transgender authors. And I made an Instagram post talking about this great conversation I had with my 13-year-old cousin and me holding up 2 books that are written by transgender authors that are like fun young adult action adventure books. And I was thinking like, is this relevant to my business? Like, why am I posting this? I don't want my business Instagram to just be like a diary of my life, do I? But that was a really popular post. It got a ton of engagement. Because a lot of the people who follow me either are queer or are parents who are navigating what books should my child be reading, things like that. So it was relevant. And also, you know, just a lot of people are Harry Potter fans and a lot of people found that whole story interesting. So I got a ton of engagement on that post. Mm-hmm. And now that's also got me questioning, like, you know, it is fun. Sharing parts of yourself that aren't necessarily related to your business make you seem like a real person. And yes. Seeming like a real person, at least in my line of business, in life coaching, that makes you more attractive. It makes people feel more engaged and interested in you.
Right. And I think especially, I think in a realm of life coaching too, where you're looking at what is happiness for them and how do they find those things, like creating an opening for and a safe space for the conversations about gender, sexuality, you know, Harry Potter and what a horrible person J.K. Rowling is. Like, those are important conversations to have because for some people, like, that's going to be the root of what's not working in life. And so, like, maybe we start here, but we have to give them the space. So we talk about J.K. Rowling on Instagram, but that automatically creates this safe space that these conversations can happen here. And so then they can start to explore that one step at a time further with you. And like you said, you have to build that rapport with people for what you're doing. Cause you're doing some like heavy hitting stuff. I mean, it's not lightweight stuff to ask people about what is the meaning of life. And so you have you've got to have that point of comfort with them. So I think that's a really good way to kind of look at what do I want to share and what's, you know, what's relevant to my business and, you know, what's important for me to share for connecting with people.
I really like that you brought up fostering conversations on social media, because that's also something that I think that's a good way of, to look at what to share and what not to share, is what conversations, what spaces do I want to open for people to talk about different topics? Because we can talk about these topics like underrepresentation of trans and minority authors in young adult literature. We can talk about that in a fun, engaging way. And part of, and I think that's related to another thing that I wanted to say that I love about existentialism, is that in existential philosophy, you can't just feel or philosophize about your values. You have to act on your values. So you can't just say, well, I feel like I'm anti-racist, or I feel like I'm a writer. You have to take steps and do it. So, you know, if I want to say I'm a person who wants to work towards equality and social justice, I need to act on that in my business, in the way that I post on social media, and make sure that I'm being ethical, that I'm not posting this false front of who I am.
Exactly. Yeah, this is one that I have struggled with myself a lot, because especially around politics, like, and actually the day we're recording this, the podcast episode that came out today is about, it's do politics belong in business? And yes, they do. And why? And like, why for me, it's so important that as I'm talking about toxic business tactics, a lot of them are rooted in white supremacy. They're rooted in the patriarchy. Like, if we don't understand where it's coming from, then we can't change the tactic. And if we can't change the tactic, then a lot of us are feeling really shitty about how we run our businesses. And so I've had to like get comfortable with like, yes, I want to cultivate conversations around politics. Like, this is a thing that I'm trying to make sure that I don't just ignore, or that I'm not like, what's the words I'm looking for? Like, I don't want to be performative, and but I want to also do more than just like donate money on the side. Like, for me, that was the balance I had to figure out of like, where do I talk about these subjects that are important to me and make sure I'm doing them justice and bringing, amplifying the voices that need to be heard, versus like, just, this is what I believe, or I'm going to donate a little money over here on the side, but bringing that into the face of my business.
I absolutely agree with you. I think politics absolutely do belong in business, especially if your business is using a lot of social media. So I think that can be really helpful for me to talk about what books am I reading, what actions am I taking, what petitions am I signing, whose voices am I amplifying, because that's showing people how I'm living out my values, both personally as a small business owner. And what I'm hoping is not that people will look at that and do exactly what I'm doing, but that they'll get ideas. They'll say, oh, okay, these are a lot of good options. What can I do that's similar or different, or that feels meaningful to me?
Yeah, that's it right there, is the meaningful to me part. Like, I've been very consciously watching several of my business owning friends and their social media, and like, how are they talking about this subject? How does that feel when I talk about it that way? Is that a subject I feel like I have the right to be talking on? Or do I just make sure, like on issues around Black Lives Matter, I have two friends that I typically kind of amplify and try to refer to them, because it's not something that's in my wheelhouse. It's not something I've experienced firsthand. And so like, yeah, finding the way that's meaningful for me to help present this information. And you had also said, create those conversations. I didn't realize this till in the last year where it started happening more. How many conversations happen in my DMs where we talk politics, we talk books, we talk silly TikToks and memes. Like, there's a lot that happens not in my comment section that I love. And that I think is such an important part of cultivating that community long before I serve anybody as a client or long after they've stopped being my client.
That's really exciting. That's great that you had that realization and that you're seeing those conversations in your DMs. And I love when I have side conversations with people, whether clients or not, about a controversial topic that I posted about. For me, I like when those things happen in my DMs and we can do it on a more personal level, but I also love when those difficult, challenging conversations happen in the comments on the main post, because mm-hmm. I want to model how to have healthy, difficult conversations about heavy topics.
Yeah.
A lot of people are reading and not commenting, and they're seeing, oh, this is a conversation that's talking about really important things, but it's not getting heated or nasty. It's people sharing ideas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's definitely more need for that. And I try to, like, other than like people I know, like more on Instagram, on Facebook, like I don't read the comment section anymore, because like we can't seem to learn that skill as a society of like pleasant conversation and, you know, debate. And but I agree, I think there is, and especially if you know younger people are watching some of what you're talking about, or family, or, you know, people that you want to make a good impression on, really anybody in your audience that you can model what it is that's important to you and how to approach those things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So towards the end of every episode, there's one question I like to ask everybody. I'm definitely curious your answer on this. What is one piece of advice that you wish you had known sooner about being an entrepreneur?
I would have to say one piece of advice that I wish I had known before I had launched is just that it's okay and healthy to not fall into that trap of trying to grind 24/7. You know, I have limited time. I have limited resources because I don't have childcare during the pandemic, and I'm trying to work as many hours as I can, but it doesn't make sense for me to stay up until 1 a.m. crafting the perfect blog post or the perfect Instagram post. It's okay to, it's going to make me better at running my business and better at being a parent to rest and take breaks.
Yes.
And it's still so hard. And now I have this rebrand that I'm so excited about, and I want to do it as fast as possible because I'm just really excited about what I want to say on my website, and I want to launch it and share it with the world. But I'm a little bit slow because I'm writing the new copy for my website and crafting my rebrand in the time around seeing clients, around doing the necessary things I need to do, like eat and sleep and take care of my baby. So my rebrand is not happening as fast as I want it to. And I just need to have realistic expectations for this time in my business and this time in my life.
Yeah, I think that's
no shame in that.
Exactly. There is no shame in going at the pace that is right for you. And I feel like even if you had childcare, like if you want to go slow, if that's your style, by all means, like we each need to run our business the way that's right for us. And if that's fitting it in around naps and our own sleep and food, yeah, it will still happen when it's ready to happen. And the rebrand will be great when it goes live. And yeah, I think that's a great piece of advice that, yeah,
and
we just need to
have snacks around, constantly have grab and go snacks around. Because if you're playing with baby, or you're responding to messages, responding to emails, whatever you're doing, you don't always have time to heat up an actual meal. So keep snacks around and hydrate.
Yes, you never want to get hangry on a client call. You always keep snacks nearby.
Yeah.
I love that. Abby, this has been great. Tell us the best place we can find you online.
So I am at moonlifecoaching.com and I am on Instagram at moonlifecoaching. Those are the two places that I hang out.
Awesome. All right. And I will make sure those are in the show notes so it's easy to find. Abby, this was a delight. Thank you so much for being on today.
Thanks for having this conversation, Casey.
Thanks for tuning in for another week of Steady She Grows. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to screenshot the show and give a share over on Instagram. Tag me at Casey.Jordan and share your key takeaways. You can also rate and review the show on Apple Podcast or wherever you give it a listen. And until next week, my friends, keep on crushing it.